वर्स नंबर 35, बृहत साम तथा सामनाम गायत्री छंद सामहम मासा नाम मार्ग शीर्षोहम ऋतूनाम कुसुमाकरः बृहत साम तथा एंड ही सेज एंड तथा मीन्स एंड आई एम बृहत साम अमंग ऑल द सामनाम सो सामन्स सामन्स एक्चुअली देयर इज अ फोर वेदास ऋग यजुर अथर्व एंड साम वेदा सो द साम वेदा इज द नॉलेज इन ऑल द वेदास इज वेरी सिमिलर विद जस्ट विद डिफरेंट फोकस एंड डिफरेंट टाइम्स इन हिस्ट्री लाइक ऋग वेदा वॉज द फर्स्ट But Sam Veda is the most beautiful because it is very melodious. All the verses in the Sam Veda have to be sung. Other Vedas have the high knowledge, but they are given like as a text, the teacher telling the student. But in the Sam Veda, the verses are all sung. And the singing, those who can do it actually, because it's not only 1 meter, there are so many different meters in which you can sing. In fact, it's very interesting. The Hanuman Chalisa, they say it can be sung in, you know, many different meters. Actually, there are 11. And we recently went to this place called Taos. Taos, it's in New Mexico, near Albuquerque. Beautiful place. It is so pretty. It is so scenic. And it's so wonderful. And there is, you know, it's one of the, actually New Mexico is one of the beautiful states I've gone to. I really didn't realize how beautiful it was. Somebody had invited Neeru and myself to participate in a seminar. And so we went there. And in Taos, there is this small little, Taos is a small little village in the middle of nowhere. And they have this big Hanumanji statue there. There's again a long story of Hanumanji, how it came there. But this statue is in the middle of nowhere, and there is not a single Indian there. They're all whites. And they have this Hanumanji statue, Hanumanji lying and with a gada, you know, and Hanumanji, of course, is a devotee of the Lord. And these people come and they sing Hanuman Chalisa. I mean, the room is about this size, maybe even smaller. And the room was packed. And all Caucasians, there were one or two Indians like us who had just gone out of curiosity. And these people sing Hanuman Chalisa with so much devotion. Softly they sing it. And the one lady was playing the harmonium, another was playing the dholak. My God, and the sweetness of that sound. And it's like you sit there and close your eyes and you get transported. I'm telling you that it was one of the most divine experiences I have had. It is so beautiful. And it's very interesting. They don't sing Hanuman Chalisa in the same tune. After a couple of times, then they change the meter. And they will sing Hanuman Chalisa in a different meter. And how did these white people learn how to say Hanuman Chalisa? It is so beautiful. It is very peaceful. It's not noisy. It is very gently they will sing. And you are sitting there and you get transported. The devotion and the love. Actually, the story is, if you want to hear it, it's a long story, but I can just make it short. There was this saint, Baba, you know, he actually was a devotee of Hanumanji and was living in California. And so he got a few people who started following him and they all became Hanuman devotees. That time there were no Indians, it was white people. This is many, many years ago. And so they became his devotees. And he said, you know, we need to bring Hanumanji statue and we'll make a Hanumanji temple. And it so happened that I think that Baba either left or passed away. I think he passed away. And he had taught them how to chant Hanuman Chalisa. And then he left or passed away. I don't know the whole story. But now these white people said, we have to get Hanumanji statue to build a Hanumanji's temple. So they were looking on the... from some catalog, and there were pictures, and they found one. Okay, this one. You know, Hanumanji is lying down with a gada. We have never seen Hanumanji lying down. He's always standing and, you know, doing dynamic. Here he's lying. They said, this one we like. So they ordered it. So the statue comes, and it's huge, right? It gets delivered to LA port. And it's a huge, big statue. And it's really big and made of marble. You know, they they said Jaipur. You know, Jaipur is where they make the best marble. Like our Krishna also has come from Jaipur. So they gave an order, send the money. So Hanumanji shows up. Now he's lying in LA port in this huge statue in this big, big box, right? Wooden box. Great. Now, no, and this three or four people came to pick up this Hanumanji. And it's too big, and they all came in their cars, you know. So, but the one devotee had come from New Mexico, and he had brought a pickup. So they said, "Oh, you have a pickup." So they loaded it on his pickup. So he said, "But I'm going to go back to Taos, to New Mexico." They said, "Okay, go ahead and take it there. And then when we build a temple in Los Angeles, in California, we'll come back and get it." So he takes this in his pickup and takes it to New Mexico, to Taos. And in the meantime, the people either couldn't do that, build the temple, or they forgot about it. So now he goes there, and now he has this statue, and he knows this is God, right? So he knows, because his teacher, that Baba, has told him it is God. So he goes and puts it in his barn, you know, and he puts it there, and then every day he prays, and he sings the Hanuman Chalisa, and he takes some flowers. And then his neighbor told him, he said, "Why do you go into the barn every day, and I see you spending so much time?" He says, "You know, God is in there, my God." He said, "Who is that?" He says, he goes and shows him this little monkey god, you know, lying down with a gada and all. It's big, it's very huge. So he said, "Oh, this is so beautiful. Why have you put him in this barn? You know, he's all this dark and dingy. You know, I have a nice farm and I have a nice farmhouse. Why don't you bring him there? You know, God, you should treat him with respect." He also becomes it. He had never seen it, but he becomes a devotee. And so they transport it, lift it, and with great difficulty now put it in his house. And now every day they start singing the Chalisa and bringing flowers and bringing fruits. And soon more people hear about it, and all of them start coming, and they all learn. Finally, that guy says, "You know what? You guys are so devoted. You can have the farm and you can have my farmhouse." So he donated the farm and he donated the farmhouse to this organization. And there they have the Hanuman Chalisa chanted. And then outside they have some rooms where you can buy books of this Baba, his teachings, and you can buy t-shirts. And it's so beautiful. You go there, they give you mithai, they give you like barfi, and then they'll give you all these food to eat, you know, and then they have this chai, this really hot tea constantly being made, and most delicious chai. You know, it is so well, I don't know, and all these white people are making chai, and so, it is so beautiful. It was a beautiful experience to listen to this Hanuman Chalisa from them. But that's the story of how Hanuman, and he's still there. Hanumanji didn't leave, and now they have a temple there. So the idea being that I am the singing. When the verses are sung, that is me. So that's why he says Brihat Sam. Sorry, I went off the track, but it was a wonderful experience, and it was worth repeating. If you ever have a chance, go to Taos. It's about 3 hours from Albuquerque. It's a beautiful place. Even otherwise, it's a very scenic place. Then he says, Gayatri Chandasa. Chandas are the meters. You know, we sing poetry is always composed in different meters. So, I didn't say why I am Brihat Sam. Just to go back, because among the meters of the Sam Veda, I am Brihati meter. Brihati is the most difficult. And one who can sing in the Brihati meter has to be a very accomplished singer. So that's why he says, I am the Brihat Sam among all the meters, among all the verses of the Sam Veda. Then Gayatri Chandasamaham. And among all the Chandas, all the meters, I am Gayatri. And Gayatri is revered in Hindu homes, and everybody practically grows up studying the Gayatri mantra, you know, Om Bhur Bhava Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. So everybody chants it. I have told the meaning one time a few months ago, but there are a lot of new people. So this Gayatri mantra, the more you hear the meaning, then you enjoy the chanting of the mantra more. So I'll just briefly repeat it. And if those of you who know it, please forgive me. But I thought it was interesting. So Gayatri is the mantra to the Lord Sun, the Sun God, because the Sun is the source of all the energy. And why is mantra, the word mantra means mananat trayate iti mantra. So what is a mantra? Mana mana trayate, which protects your mind. So chanting of the Lord's name, the mantra, has so much power that it can protect your mind, can nourish your mind. That's why they say that this chanting of these mantras, even if you don't understand them, but the chanting of the mantras, when it's done with devotion and properly, it not only purifies your mind, but purifies the atmosphere. That's why in all the temples and all, there is constantly chanting going on. The idea being that these mantras protect the environment, purify the environment. So it says, Om Bhuvah Bhavah Swaha. Om is the Lord, Lord's name, and all our mantras start with Om. You know, anything, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om is God's name. Bhuvah Swaha. This represents the land, the sky, and the heavens. So the earth, then the sky above, and then the heavens. You know, so the earth, the space, and the heavenly bodies. And the heavens, you know, like the all the heavens, seven heavens above. Tat Savitur Varenyam. And beyond that is that worshipful sun. So the sun, that energy of the sun or the consciousness which illumines the sun, is beyond the land, the earth, the space, and the heavens. That worshipful sun, Tat Savitur Varenyam. Bhargo, can you see that? Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, and that illumines the Devas. Devas means the gods. So that means all the gods in heaven, the god of the sun, the god of the god of the air, the god of the oceans. So all, you know, like we or in the Greek mythology, they have Zeus and they have Mercury and they have all these, you know, various gods. So we also in our mythology have different gods. Varun Devta, Agni Devta, Vayu Devta. So the gods are illumined by that one consciousness, representing that there is only one consciousness that illumines the earth, illumines the space, and illumines even the gods in heaven. Even Indra and even Zeus and all the gods are illumined by him. Dhiyo yona prachodayat, and may it illumine our intellect. Dhiyo yona prachodayat, may it illumine. So when you chant the Gayatri mantra, one is of course outside. God is outside. He's there in the space, he's there in the heavens, and he's beyond it as the consciousness. But the inner Gayatri, when you chant, then you say, earth is the body. The body, you know, body is earth. Mind and intellect is subtle, that represents space. And the heavens, which are subtler, represent the vasanas. So this is the gross body. This is called the subtle body, because you cannot see it. You know, the gross body you can see. But the subtle body, I only can experience my emotions. Nobody else can know my emotions, my thoughts. And then beyond that is the causal body, or the which causes me to act, called the vasanas. You know, they say, I don't know, I didn't want to do it, but I don't know why I did it. Why I get angry? You know, I don't want to get angry, but I don't know why. It's because of you have this causal body, the vasanas, which cause me to act. Whether it could be good or it could be bad. That's what makes an alcoholic drink. That's what makes a sportsman play sports. It was the same desires that brought us today to learn about the Gita. So, vasanas are the causal body which cause you to act. So, there is the gross body, the subtle body, the mind and intellect, and the causal body. And beyond that is the consciousness. So, Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam. So, when you chant the Gayatri mantra, you say that there is this body, the mind, and the vasanas, but there is the consciousness within me that illumines all three. Just as the consciousness outside illumines the sun, you know, the earth, the space, and everything. So the consciousness within me illumines all these three. And it also illumines my devas. The devas here mean the sense organs. The eyes, the ears are also called devas in Sanskrit. So this consciousness is illumining my eyes. That's why I'm able to see. Illumining my ears, I'm able to hear. Illumining my nose, that's why I'm able to smell. So that consciousness that illumines everything, may it illumine my intellect. Dhiyo yo na prachodayat, so I may know the Lord. So when you chant the Gayatri Mantra, you say that consciousness which is beyond the body, mind and vasanas, which illumines all my sense organs, may it illumine my intellect, so I may have the right knowledge. So that is why they say chanting of the Gayatri Mantra is very powerful. And Swamiji in his commentary says that chanting the Gayatri Mantra continuously for 3 years with devotion gives you great benefit. So it's not only that it makes your intellect sharp, but makes you aware of what is the true knowledge. So that is why they say the consciousness. Also the three, Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha, represents not only gross body, subtle body and causal body, but represents the three states, waking, dream and deep sleep. Consciousness is there in all three, right? Is there in the waking, is there in the dream, is there in deep sleep. Even in deep sleep, I am still alive. Also, it represents the consciousness in the three periods of time, past, present and future. So that Lord, that consciousness was there before time in the past, is there now and will always be there in the future. So that consciousness which is in the past, present and future, which is there in waking, dream and deep sleep, may it illumine my intellect. So that's why the Gayatri has a lot. Actually, the Gayatri has so much meaning, you can talk for hours on it. But in all the Upanishads, it has been covered. Actually, Swamiji, I don't think I've been able to do justice. When you go home, please read Swamiji's commentary on the Gayatri Mantra and this verse. It's phenomenal. It's very nice. So I would recommend everybody to read that. So he says, Gayatri Chandasaham Aham. And I am the Gayatri among all the meters, all the mantras. I am the Gayatri Mantra, which is the highest, which gives you the highest knowledge. In that brief 4 lines, there is so much knowledge. You know, so much you can understand about it. So I am the Gayatri Mantra. Then he says, Masa Nam Marga Shirshoham. And among the months, you know, we have 12 months in the Hindu calendar. Actually, and then every few years they get Adhik Mas, they get a 13th month, because the Hindu calendar is based on the moon, 28 day cycles. It's not based on, you know, it's not 30, 31 days. Everything is 28 days. So then after a while they have to put an extra month to get back into. So, and it does not exactly correspond to the English calendar. It's not January, February, like. So this Marga Shirsha is a month that is somewhere from December to January. You know, half in December, half in January. That is called Marga Shirsha. And why does he say that is the best month? You might say here, oh, I don't like December, January. It's too cold. You know, especially if you're living in the Midwest or living in the Northeast. Say, oh, no, 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 I will say, you know, God is, you know, October or March, you know, because the weather is good. But in India, you know, because it's very hot all the year round, so December and January are the cooler months where, you know, it's pleasant, it is nice. And also a lot of our festivals like Diwali and all are just there. And actually the New Year starts around, you know, sometime in November. So that's why Marga Shirsha is the best month, because it is like the beginning of the new year, or it is the cool time. In India, they, you know, they prefer, because it never gets that cold that it starts snowing and all, and people enjoy. In fact, most of us, when we go to visit India, we like to go in December, January, because the weather is cooler. So he says, Masa Nam Marga Shirshoham, Ritu Nam Kusumakara. Kusumakara is a beautiful name for spring. Spring, you know, and here he says, I am among the seasons, among the ritus, I am Kusumakara. Kusum means flower. Kara means one who makes. So I am the spring season. You know, there are 4 seasons. There is winter, there is spring, there is summer, and then there is fall. Or in India, there is monsoon, you know, the rainy season. And all seasons are important. You know, we're not saying that one is better than the other. All seasons are necessary. You need the heat, you know, for the plants to grow. You need monsoon for the rain to fall. You need winter for certain crops to grow in the winter. But spring is something that everybody looks forward to, you know, because in spring, the cold is over and the flowers are blooming. You know, you drive up the grapevine and then you see all these beautiful green. The mountains are so green. And then soon you'll see these little flowers and the whole one mountain will be purple. Another mountain will be yellow. Another mountain will be red. And even in your gardens, in your backyards, all these, you know, flowers. And especially, you know, if you have that, I don't know what they call Ratkirani. I don't know what they call it in English.
Jasmine.
You come out of your house and if you have jasmine and when you smell it, you think, oh my God, that is the Lord himself. You know, this beautiful perfume. The whole atmosphere is so pretty. You know, it's like you come out and I remember, oh Lord, this, you are so beautiful. Just to smell that, you know, in the evening. And how does that perfume come out of the flowers, where it is and who creates it, is such a wonderful thing. So that's why they say spring is the most beautiful, because you have got tired of the snow and you have been shoveling and it's cold and all. So now the weather has improved, the flowers will come out and then the nice warm season will come. And the whole earth as if puts on a beautiful sari, you know, colorful dress. So that's why he says, among the seasons, I am the spring, I am the maker of flowers. So the idea being that anything that you see is beautiful, I am. Anything that is glorious, anything that is wonderful is the Lord. So that is how, using these little cues, you can remember the Lord. Just as when you know, like when you're trying to study for school or college and, you know, you have difficult things, then you put little markers and little cues that after this comes this. And you know, when you want to, or when I want to memorize a verse, that's how I try to do, connect one with the other. So these little cues tune your mind to the Lord. And so when you see that, you instantly think of him. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukh bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi, harihi om, shri gurubhyo namaha, harihi om.